Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Daryl's brought to you by Shavin Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Do you have a power ranking, Daryl? You ready?
Yeah, sure. Why
not?
Let's go. Off we go. Let's go. Let's hear it.
Number three, Corey Bjorkaeus.
Okay. Good.
Number two, Alex Wright. And just to troll you all, number one, Jerry Jeudy.
Thank you. Thank you. Deshaun Watts is not in the top three, Tone. You're a liar. You've lied to yourself. You've lied to the fans.
Did he not make some clutch third down plays? Were not some of those scrambles vintage, dare I say, Deshaun Watson, Daryl?
There were a couple. There's a gleam, man. That's what you get out of that yesterday from Deshaun. You got a little hint. There might still be a little something there, but still not the dominant all-pro performance we're looking for. But it's a step in the right direction.
I said it was acceptable. Did you find it? You found it acceptable?
Yes. Yes. First half was actually really, really good for the Browns offensively. Not enough points, but they dominated that first half and basically played keep away. 20-10 time of possession ratio there. But the second half, things just stalled out for whatever reason, and they got bogged down. And they really didn't put the game away. Deshaun gets a demerit for the lack of awareness late in the game, which he tried to throw there on 3rd and 6, stopped the clock, allowed Jacksonville to get the ball back with almost 90 seconds to go, and that's why everyone had to hold their breath at the end of the game. Had he taken the sack, time would have run off the clock. Jacksonville would have had a lot less time to work with, and I don't think it would have been as, nail-biting at the finish as it was. So I don't know why Kevin Stefanski didn't just call for a run there, but I gotta ding Deshaun there for just a complete lack of awareness and giving Jacksonville a free timeout and more time to play with.
Daryl's dinging him. Tone?
Well, yeah, I mean, I did ask Ken earlier in the show if that goes poorly, if it ends up being a fumble, it's scooped up for a touchdown, or he throws an interception there, because it was very chaotic. That could have gone so many worse ways than it did. What are we saying about the Watson performance? Well, somebody who power ranked him in my MVP list yesterday.
It's a lie because you're lying.
He would have been number one in the power rankings for losing the game. That's what would have happened, right?
Yes.
Well, were you surprised at the play call?
Yes. It was stupid. You don't throw the ball when you're trying to run out the clock.
I don't think he was supposed to really throw it, though.
Yeah, I that's why I hesitate criticizing Kevin, because I don't have any idea what the play call was. Either way, he shouldn't have thrown the ball. He should have taken the sack.
Well,
if
it were a design pass, would Kevin have said what he had said in the post game, where he said he got mad at Deshaun in that moment?
Yeah.
Gun.
Yeah. So, and that's one of those rare times when Kevin actually came out and said something critical about a player, because he typically doesn't do that.
It was like a compliment sandwich, though. There was like a little bit in the middle there. He's like, I was mad, but he did great.
All's well that ends well, right?
Honestly, Daryl, that was the most critical I've ever heard anybody in the organization or the coaching staff be of Deshaun Watson, even though you're right, he sandwiched it between a lot of nice things.
Yeah, and that's how you do it. I mean, that's just, Kevin is such a professional. That's how you do it. Mike Tomlin does this in Pittsburgh too, where you slide the criticism in with a compliment or two, so it doesn't come off like you're taking the shot at a player when you're really also trying to take a shot at the player. You know what I'm saying? So I thought that was a good job by Kevin yesterday. But, yeah, just that play really, really bothered me, because that is late game awareness that you have to have. It's great we can talk about it in a win, right? They're 1-1. Everyone can step back from the ledge now. The hapless New York Giants are coming to town this weekend. So opportunity for them to get above 500 and hopefully start to really get the ball rolling here and stack some wins. But, man, that play could have really been an epic disaster. Thankfully, it was not.
Of monumental proportions, Darryl.
Well, that game felt like it was slipping away from them in the second half. It really was. And to their credit, they made just enough play. Look, the game should have been over when Alex Wright had the safety. That should have been ball game right there. Yeah. Jacksonville should have never saw the football again. That should have been it. But again, all's well that ends well. Won the game.
Can you help us at all? Like, Lyme and I had a great big disagreement, and we were going, well, we don't really disagree with each other. We're just confused. This was yesterday after the game. On a free kick, can you onside? What was that? Like, what was the whole thing? Because they were like, he booted it straight up in the air.
Where they could just fair catch it.
Like, it was like a Charlie Brown kick. And I'm like, is he allowed to fair catch it? What is the rule, Darryl?
Yeah, well, I was always under the impression you had the choice to kick from the tee or punt. And I thought you used to be able to try onside kicks with a quote-unquote free kick. Apparently not. And he went with the pop-up to try and see if it would either drop between players and roll around and they could jump on it, or they could just, you know, run and catch it themselves. I mean, it was a admirable attempt by Jacksonville because he did a nice job popping it up real short, and the Browns did a real good job getting under that thing. And, you know, yes, the Browns can fair catch at any time. So, Jacksonville did a good job trying to, you know, make something happen there. But I think that Bubba Ventrone's special teams unit also did a great job handling it.
Well, I think there's a lot of confusion on the rules right now about onside kicks. It's supposed to be the fourth quarter, and you have to notify the other team when you onside kick. And then we were wondering earlier in the show, we were half joking, and then we got really serious about it. But did the Browns know that you can't run, the kicker cannot run past, well, what is it, the 50-yard line?
Yeah, until the ball is touched. Yeah, I would assume that they knew that. We're seeing this across the league, not so much that specific infraction, but the first 2 weeks, you are seeing, they call it illegal formation. That's the technical penalty. You're seeing various illegal formations on kickoffs around the league. I think it's going to take a couple of weeks for everybody to really get on board with all the minute details within this new, they're calling it the dynamic kickoff rules. That was a tough one, because the Browns could have had a turnover there, and Dustin Hopkins crossing the 50 cost them too early there. So yeah, you gotta wait until the ball is touched before the kicker can get across the 50-yard line, which I don't understand that rule. I don't know why that is in place. That really doesn't make sense to me, because it's 11-on-11, and he's not entering I call it the engagement zone, where the teams line up 5 yards away from each other, right? That part of the rule I don't get. I don't know if it's for kicker safety or whatever, but that little detail trips me up a little bit.
Darryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheibman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. There are people who want you to do Daryl's Dingers on Mondays. Can you do a segment called, can you do part of this segment called Daryl's Dingers at all? Let's think of this.
Well, what's it going to be? Like what? Just
When you got to dig them, you say, I got to dig them. And I say, well, Daryl's digging people, Lima. Like, so you got some
dingers.
Yeah,
we can do that. Sure.
Mitch, remember it, because I'm going to forget. Okay, Mitch is going to remember it. Then
the inaugural member of Daryl's Dingers
is
Deshaun Watson.
What? You didn't think it was very good, huh?
No, No, at the end of the game. Not running the ball. Throwing the ball on third down.
But overall, let me ask you this. I mean, at the end of the game, so I can't, I'm not ignoring the end of the game, but I can't talk about the rest of the game because I didn't think he was outstanding, but I thought it was obviously much better.
In the first half, he was really good. You know, in the second half, I think it would have been better had they had that drive where he hit Judy for the 30 yards. It was a beautiful throw. And then he came right back and hit Judy for another quick 5 yards escaping pressure. They get down into the red zone. Dante Foreman gets called for the offensive face mask because he tackled the defender, brought him down with him by the face mask. Then he had, I think it was Ethan Posick and Joel Bitonio both got called for holding. So Kevin Stefanski had trouble finding third and 36 on his play call sheet, which I can't fault him for that. So I think that had that drive turned out a little better, might have made the numbers look a little better for Deshaun. It was good enough to win, okay? You saw positive signs. You saw some of the athleticism. You saw him get the ball out much quicker. He wasn't holding on to it like he was the week before. He didn't look like he was lost out there like he did against Dallas. So a positive step in the right direction. Still not where I think he needs to be, but it was good enough to win a football game. And again, it was better than it was the week before. And that's really, be honest with you, Ken, because it was so bad in week one,
yeah,
that's all I was asking for. Yeah. I was asking for the bare minimum. So from my standpoint, I got the bare minimum. I'm happy with it. Now I need to see it get better and better and better in the weeks to follow here.
How is Miles and how is Denzel?
Well, Denzel only played 11 snaps yesterday. He said after the game he's on a pitch count. So luckily they got through a game with with their two key defenders banged up. Miles Garrett basically said he's going to be dealing with his foot injury for a little bit. He's going to try not to play it up or make a big deal of it. He definitely affected him yesterday, but another strip sack for him. Still was able to pressure the quarterback. He kind of gets a little, at least in my view, I think he gets a little assist there on the safety with Alex Wright providing the pressure from the opposite side. But it is something that's, and it's the same foot. He told us on Friday, it's the same foot that he suffered the dislocated toe at the 2023 Pro Bowl games running that dumb obstacle course they had guys running. But the injury is not related to that, according to Miles. So it's going to be a week-to-week thing for him that he's going to try and play through.
Daryl, just one more thing on the Cooper aspect of it. People are wondering if, he's having issues the first 2 weeks because of the contract thing and then him potentially getting traded. I mean, do you have any belief that that could be the case?
Yeah, I mean, anything's possible. I mean, these guys are human, and Amari, believe it or not, he's human. I'm surprised by the two drops in the first 2 weeks because that's not Amari Cooper. He's just so good at what he does, running routes, catching footballs. So just very unusual circumstances for him. I don't know why that is, other than just filing it under stuff happens. But, hopefully we don't see too many of those going forward.
All right, Daryl. Thank you very much for your time. Daryl's Dingers next week.
You bet you can.
You ready for a hot take? Everybody's saying, Lane. Gotta be Kiffin. What about Eli Drinkwitz over at Mizzou? I think he'd be better. Hey, like that. I think he'd be better.
Not Matt Campbell?
I don't think that's the type of place for him. No.
20?
But Greco's team taking care of the SEC over
nicely
the weekend.
Done.
Toledo.
Nicely
big
done.
Big win.
29.
Where's Campbell going to go?
That's it.
That's it. We're done with the college
nothing
football
on,
today.
Nothing on Notre Dame fraudulently being ranked ahead of Northern Illinois?
Browns. Talk Browns. Browns.
JOK, you should be ashamed of yourself that your alma mater is ranked ahead of Northern Illinois.
Whoa.
When they beat you at your place.
Well, he doesn't control the polls, buddy.
I was just trying to combine them.
Oh, nice
to get
little,
back to Browns.
Yeah, did Mitch was itching for a top three. Wasn't he a power ranking of the MVPs of the game on Sunday?
Oh, yeah. He wanted to get
of
after
course
it.
He was.
All right, Mitch.
He wanted to get in on it.
We'll let Mitch do it. Go ahead. Knock yourself out.
Number three, Jerry Jeudy. Number two,
wow.
Corbin Marquez. Number one, Alex Wright.
What about Trevor Lawrence?
He even said his own team sucks right now.
Does his own team suck, or is he a big part of that?
I mean, he said he's taking accountability. Everybody's taking accountability in Jacksonville right now.
I would hope so.
I mean, how many games does Jacksonville win this year?
They booed his face. They are 0-2 this year. They have not won. Mitch, you said they've lost their last six
seven in a row.
It would be seven of their last seven eight now, and their last win was against the Panthers.
No, but isn't it seven straight that
he
started?
Even count.
Yes.
So they had that promotion where they named that stadium because it's called Everbank Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And they put a TR in front of everything. And I forget who was going to the game yesterday. I want to say maybe it was Gerard. Gerard didn't know what was – he thought maybe they were like transitioning to a different name or something like that. He didn't – if it wasn't Gerard, I'm sorry. One of the people who were broadcast, they did not know that there was this big Trevor Bank promotion going on to celebrate Trevor Lawrence's extension with the ball club. And I thought, boy, if you're one of his teammates walking in and they're doing all this crap to call it Trevor Bank Stadium. I mean, hey, he's a pro quarterback. He's a franchise quarterback. It is what it is. Like, let's not all be lost. But boy, you better be good. Because if you ain't good on a day where they name the stadium after you for a day.
Probably shouldn't have 17 yards passing. In the
Yeah, they booed him without mercy. Had to be great for Deshaun Watson to hear the home fans booing another quarterback. Had to be awesome.
Maybe he gotten too used to that.
Holy cow.
And I told you yesterday.
The boos were so hard. You can tell they were so visceral. Yeah. Visceral booing. Those were hardcore Jags
fans. I told you yesterday,
there.
Like the 66-yard bomb to Brian Thomas. And also some of those.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Gazelle-like runs. You understand why he was always the next Andrew Luck. Like those two, the two plays or three plays, you're like, oh, that's why. But you assume that you're going to fill in the rest of the blanks, right?
Uh-huh.
Over time, you feel like you're going to get better at reading defenses. And the guy is lost to the line of scrimmage. You know, the Browns were showing run plays. He never got them out of those run plays on second down where they were running right into Delpit and JOK. It's like, dude, there's nine guys. That's you. You're the quarterback. You're turning into a veteran now.
Yep.
You're supposed to be able to get your team out of those bad situations. Also, Peterson didn't do him any favors. What's the one thing that's been really effective against the Browns defense that we saw last year with the Rams, that we saw with the misdirection and the jet sweeps? You saw one jet sweep, no misdirections. Like, I mean, I'm not an X's and O guru,
Tone's
but like,
disgusting.
I know what works against the Browns defense.
I mean, this is your four, man. You kind of got to get going. He threw for 4,000 yards last year. The turnovers hurt him.
I'll take Blake Bortles.
I know that. Okay, let's not say things we can't take back here. He just
threw a penalty away
4,
from going
yards.
To the Super Bowl, Kenny. I'm taking Bortles.
He's out of the league now.
And I'm taking him.
Okay, well, at least you're being...
Trevor
they can't
Lawrence,
see your face.
Trevor
they don't
Lawrence,
know you're being sarcastic. I didn't even know it
Here's what
first.
He did. You know why? You know I'm upset about Trevor Lawrence?
What?
Is because I made what I thought was a compelling case for Urban Meyer to be a good head coach in the NFL, and he was saddled with that fraud.
Oh, Urban was saddled
yes.
with the fraud.
Yes.
Okay.
Single-handedly ruined that and the lying kicker. The guy who said he was getting punted by Urban Meyer... And nobody backed it up, and the media ran with it for 2 weeks, And it turned out wasn't true at all. Was just that, totally made up.
I don't know if that's confirmed that that was made up.
Reckless speculation.
Nobody saw it.
Need to tap.
Nobody saw it.
I want to make sure it gets out
I'm
there.
I'm sorry. I'm nervous.
And that everyone knows that was Anthony Lima that said that.
Not
and
me.
Nobody else.
Well, me. Sure as hell wasn't me.
The NFL would have been way more entertaining with Urban Meyer as a head coach and Trevor Lawrence ruined it.
Is that what your contention is?
Yes. That guy sucks.
Trevor Lawrence made him go to his bar and... Is that Trevor Lawrence made him do that?
I think that if he had a better quarterback that he hadn't given up on, maybe he's not going to bars hanging out with college women.
Let me get one more in here.
Reckless speculation.
But now we got him on the Fox pregame show. So
he's very good on the Fox pregame show.
He is very good.
Like, because I highlight that, like, you hate Urban Meyer because I thought he would be a bad NFL coach. And I was right. And you were very, very wrong. And I was very happy to be right about that.
Is that enough games? Do we have enough games?
Yeah, we had enough.
Don't some coaches start out bad and then get better over time?
Lou Holtz was not a good head coach in the NFL. He didn't. I don't even think he finished his first season with the New York Jets. Bet you don't even remember that, do you? Because neither of us were alive.
This was 1977.
How long did Steve Spurrier last?
A couple seasons, I want to say, with Washington. Then he ended up at South Carolina for a long time. And then they've kind of sort of been up and down ever since. But either way, see, you fell back into college football. For Trevor Lawrence, man, like if I were a Jags fan, like, hey, I know, our quarterback situation. Hey, all right, yeah, I know. I'm a Browns fan. Our quarterback situation, our guy ain't necessarily through the woods right now. But boy, whew. Naming that stadium after that guy, and he turns that performance in. I don't care if it's raining. Trevor Bank Stadium. Oof. And how many yards did he throw for?
He ended up with...
altogether 220. Threw 220. For more than
our guy. 17 in the first
half. I mean, when they were in desperation, Browns were giving up some pass plays.
66 of that came on one pass to Brian Thomas.
And it was amazing. Like, those are the plays that make you think that he should be really, really good at football. He's not.
So there are people who are angry at Kevin Stefanski for the third down. We just had Daryl on and brought him on. You know, if you're mad at Kevin, you're mad at Kevin for having faith in the quarterback. I mean, that's where we're at on that, right? Like, you can Kevin's a big boy. You can be mad at him all you want. And maybe people are. 216-474-0092. That's a play that's called. Bootleg on that situation is a play that's called a lot. Called a lot. Again, Nathan, and we can highlight it again if we want. I don't want to just call for it out of nowhere willy-nilly. But Nathan highlighted it during the radio broadcast because I got the setup, except when the internet ain't working, which I'll get into later. I have the setup where I got the TV on and I hear the radio call. And every now and then, the radio is behind the TV or vice versa. It's just how it hits on the Alexa down in the basement, right? So I got the game going, and I can hear Nathan while this play is going on because the color analyst was a Jason McCourty. He doesn't know the Browns as well as Nathan does. He's a good color analyst. Don't get me wrong. I thought the TV crew was pretty good. But he ain't going to know the team like Nathan knows the team. And it was interesting. Nathan says this right before the play that happens.
Third and six.
Please reset the game clock to 137. 137.
Keep giving them time back. So you'll get down to probably the next play. You have a chance to get this inside of 50 seconds. Now, I'm okay if you want to give them a bootleg here and just say, look, if something's there that's easy, you throw it. If not, you just slide and keep the clock running because it's going to be tough to pick up this first down just running it up the middle.
Deshaun from under center, offset eye. Harrison, form into the backfield. Deshaun takes the snap. Play fake. He's going to roll out left. Chased by Joshua Hines-Allen. Throws the ball. No whistle. Ball loose. Browns cover it on their own 48-yard line. Now they say incomplete. And the clock stops at 129. Oh, my Lord. That was almost disastrous.
The ruling on the field is an incomplete forward pass. Fourth down.
Well, here's why it is even a little bit of a disaster.
Because the clock stops.
The clock stops right there. And that's why I said I'm fine with the boot, but it's either you have something easy, and if not, you get down, take a knee, give yourself up. You cannot allow the clock to stop here.
And I start writing furiously yesterday because I'm going, oh, my God, Nathan called it. I'm texting you guys. Like, I'm like, we got to get the audio for it because there it is right there. So they've if Nathan's saying it, they've definitely practiced it. It's definitely been done. But when Deshaun decides to do what Deshaun decided to do, I mean, you can't be mad at the play call. The only thing I think you can be really mad at is that Kevin decided to trust a guy that you don't trust. Kevin, in the post game, Stefanski in the post game, talked about it. He said that was basically The only time he was mad at Deshaun Watson. So it was a compliment sandwich, but he said that was the only time he was mad at the guy.
Yeah, I'm not going to say comeback performance. That's just a starting quarterback out there making plays. He's not perfect. I got mad at him at the end there, but didn't stay mad at him. He made some plays. And you know, that's who he is. His pocket movement, making plays off schedule was incredible. A couple of those throws down the field were really, really impressive. And he never blinked. That's a tough crowd that he's in, out there with. And we're backing up, and there's penalties, and the kid never blinked. Yeah, he should take a sack. But I'm very, very proud of him.
Now, if you were Big Kev, say you find yourself in the same exact situation against the Raiders. On the road, you're against the Raiders.
Just hand the ball off.
boot again.
You think he will?
Yep. I would, if you were Kev, you would hand it off. I'd do boot again. There ain't no way he's making that same mistake twice. Now, they might see it coming fine. Just get down and take the sack. I don't care. But if you find yourself in that spot, there's no way your franchise quarterback, who's, again, he's supposed to be your franchise quarterback, there's no way he does that. There's no way he does that again. And if he does, my God, then we have a real trust issue.
I mean, listen, he clearly had trust in him yesterday with the amount of passes. Look, we talked about the holding calls and how it seemed like there were seven straight plays that there were holding calls. Well, yeah, they were all pass plays. So Kevin Stefanski, despite the fact that your tackle situation is what it is and you got massacred in the opening game against Dallas, and the passing game was not where you wanted it to be. I mean, he still had a ton of confidence as you were trying to salt away the game, and he's still throwing passes yesterday.
This is What Was Wild around the league. Sponsored by Wild Eagle Saloon. Locations in Broadview Heights, downtown, and Streetsboro. More details at wildeagle.com.
All right, what was wild this week in the NFL? We're all dialed into the Browns, obviously, but so much else transpiring. I'll start out in Washington, D.C.
Lima's wild thing.
The Commanders taking on the New York Giants, and it was a wild one. Why was that? Well, the final score was 21-18. There was a game-winning field goal. No big deal, right? Well, let's go back a week. Cade York cut last week after missing two field goals in the Commanders' opener. So, who did they pick up? They signed former Cleveland Brown draft pick Austin Seibert?
Yes.
And Austin Seibert, one of the most controversial days in the history of this radio station. We debated drafting a kicker the entire day, all the shows, on whether or not that made sense for a GM to ever pick a kicker. Fast forward to yesterday. The former fifth-round pick, 170th overall, out of Oklahoma, kicked from 27, from 45, from 26, from 27, from 29, from 33, wow. And with the game on the line and the clock expiring, he connects with a game-winning 30-yard field goal for Washington to defeat the New York Giants, 21-18. And in that game, if that wasn't wild enough, former Cleveland Browns punter and Tremont Barhopper, Jamie Gillen, was the kicker and missed an extra point, a crucial one for the Giants because Gano got injured. That was a wild game.
That is a wild game. That is
features
a wild
all
game.
All of the Cleveland former specialists.
Mitch?
Mitch's wild thing.
So down in Dallas yesterday, the Saints continuing to pile on the points, 44-19 over the Cowboys. They have combined for 91 points in their first two games, and their first 15 possessions of the year ended with a score each time. Alvin Kamara had four touchdowns yesterday. Here's what he had to say about the newly revamped Saints offense.
The belief that we have right now, not only in ourselves, but with Clinton and JB and Foster and Clancy and these guys installing this, they're putting us in position, and we're just going and just bringing it to life. We just sit hut and we're going. So I think we've got great ball players, and we got great players, and when you got those two, man, I think the sky's the limit.
Just got to say hut. We'll get to the Saints here in just a few moments. Owen, what was wild?
Owen's wild thing.
Baltimore's 0-2, and apparently John Harbaugh's on the hot seat.
Yes.
It's the greatest thing that I've ever seen. Go to the Baltimore Twitter or their X account, whatever you want to call it. Look at all the replies. It's amazing. Las Vegas had lost their previous 49 games when they had trailed by 10-plus in the fourth quarter. Harbaugh's an inch away from beating the Chiefs. Mm. He loses by 3 to the Raiders. It's also their first 0-2 start since 2015. But I don't have any fancy audio.
I've got tweets, though. Kevin Ostreicher, who runs the Locked On Ravens podcast.
Locked On.
He says, inexcusable Ravens loss. Harbaugh's seat has gotten warm. Ravens Realm, that's a podcast. John Harbaugh, you're on the hot seat. And, of course, Stone, who is in the Ravens replies here.
Yes.
He says, if you still defend Harbaugh, you're simply incompetent.
If a coach is around long enough.
Yeah.
And I think he will have the people who hate his guts and Harbaugh be fired every day.
We don't have time for a power ranking, but I think everybody in here, you'd have Harbaugh top five coach in the NFL,
yeah.
Would you not?
I would. On first blush, yeah. I probably would, yeah.
All right. Some reaction there as well.
Stan Campbell still in that mix?
Ooh. Kenny, what was wild?
Ken's wild thing.
I got to tell you, the Packers taking it to the Colts at home on a sunny day at Lambeau Field was fantastic. Josh Jacobs was amazing. As the Packers won 16-10, he ran 32 times for 151 yards. So don't say Matt LaFleur won't do what's necessary to win. Malik Willis was taken care of. Completed 12 of 14 for 122 yards and a touchdown. Later on, Matt LaFleur was asked, why didn't you throw on that third down to seal things? Here's Matt LaFleur.
I asked Malik why he didn't throw the ball on that third down, and he told me that Josh threw up on the ball. I was like... That's the first time I've ever heard that. Matter of fact, the official came over to me, Sean came over to me and said, you know, we saw your center throwing up on the ball. Do you want us to take him out next time? I said, absolutely. Please do that because, I mean, you're talking about a critical situation and it's third down and I've never had a throw with vomit on a football. So I don't know. I don't think Malik probably didn't appreciate that.
That is Matt LaFleur talking about center Josh Myers, who must have had some bad milk in America's Dairyland.
So Hugh Jackson, next time he's ever working out quarterbacks again.
No. No. No.
Hey, you got to find out which quarterbacks can throw a puked on football. That's going to be important.
I just want to hear Vince McMahon in the background going, he's going to puke!
Unbelievable.
All right, he draws.
Sorry, draws.
So
he played in the league.
He did.
Honorable mention, a couple things here. In San Francisco, so the 49ers lose. No Christian McCaffrey, who could be out like 6 weeks
right.
At least. Brock Purdy throws for 319. Remember, no one's thrown for 300 yards. He's thrown for 319. Jordan Mason, another 100-yard rushing performance. Deebo Samuel, 110 receiving, and they lost. They lost. And why did they lose? Sam Darnold, a renaissance man. Your top five quarterbacks right now in the NFL by quarterback rating after 2 weeks, Derek Carr's number one, Baker Mayfield number two, Josh Allen number three, you could see that. Number four, Kyler Murray, and number five, Sam Darnold. What is going on with this football league, Kenny?
Wish I could tell you. Except that the quarterbacks, Justin Herbert, he went 14-20 yesterday for 130 yards. It was J.K. Dobbins. Told you, Harbaugh's going to run you. And there, 2-0.
How many did Dobbins have?
He had 131 yards and a touchdown. On the other side, Chuba Hubbard had 64 yards on 10 carries. They tried to throw it 26 times with Bryce Young. He completed 18 of them, threw a pick. He finished with 84 yards, averaging 3.2 per completion. That's bad running.
That was What Was Wild Around the League. Sponsored by Wild Eagle Saloon. Locations in Broadview Heights, downtown, and Streetsboro. More details at wildeagle.com.
That's bad for running the ball, let alone throwing it.
That is. So we talked about the surprising quarterback numbers for the first 2 weeks of the year. Maybe, perhaps, that might make you feel better about where Deshaun Watson is.
Does it make you feel better about Deshaun Watson?
Maybe. But I would just add, again, that's where quarterbacking is going in the league right now through 2 weeks. Kicking in the league. The kickers, the first 2 weeks from 50 yards. Used to be really hard to make 50-yard field goals. 35 of 39. Two of those misses, as you told me, Kenny, to start the day, were from who? From 50 yards. Two of the misses of the four were from which legendary kicker?
Because you put the Maloik on him. Justin Tucker.
He's not even a guys, he's not even a top 15 kicker in the league right now. How do you like them apples in Baltimore?
Tone put the Maloik on him. It's that simple.
You get involved in a vicious contract dispute, this is what happens.